Our reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's on page 1195, if you've got a church Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 8 and read through to verse 14. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to his friend and mentor, Timothy. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it is now being revealed through the appearance of our Saviour Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. Now I'm going to invite Daniel up to come and bring God's word to us. Let me get a lecture for you, Daniel. And over to you.
I'll put it down.
Warm greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is such a joy to be here today at St. Patrick's Church. Many thanks for your love, all the joy, and opening up the doors of missions so that we can be able to come and share God's word today. Special thanks to you, David, for allowing me to share God's word with God's people today. Have you ever come to a point when you don't have many choices in your life? Have you ever been in a conundrum where you don't know what to choose and where to go? This was a point when Timothy and Paul were thinking about many things, but Paul was in prison and Timothy was doing work in a church. We're going to use this text of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 14, to reflect on some of the choices that we have that Paul shared with Timothy. But let me first tell you a story. In 1886, many years ago, back in Uganda, there was a team of people who had just become Christians. They had come to the Lord, and they were beginning to do church work in many different ways. One of the leaders at the time called them together and told them, "You either worship the lords of our small kingdom or I will punish you." Now, there's a small kingdom in Uganda called the Kingdom of Buganda. And there was a king then who was quite ruthless. So he did not want to relate with people who had come to this new faith. The faith is what we call Christianity. Missionaries had come to our country and had done a good job of bringing the gospel unto us. In the 1800s, it was hard, tough to come to many of the places where we live. But in Uganda, we don't have a water border. So you have to come either through Kenya, Tanzania, or a few other countries to come in the interior of Uganda. And so, missionaries came through river channels to be able to bring the gospel. What we read, it was never easy. It was tough. It was almost like being on a death row to bring the gospel to our country. And we are thankful. We are thankful. Reflecting on that, the king did not take it so well that the people had received the gospel. They began going to church. They began going for fellowships and beginning to train up to become leaders and to participate in mission. The king bundled them up and took them to a place called Namugongo. They were burnt to death. They were left to ashes. Today, we celebrate their choice, their single choice, as the Uganda Martyrs. You can look up the story online. While you live in the UK, I wonder how many choices you have. Paul and Timothy in this text give us just three choices. Paul shared with Timothy, who was on this small island in Ephesus, place in Ephesus, sharing the gospel with the people in Ephesus. He was left there. If you go back to the book of Acts, chapter 17 and 18, you can read about Paul's time in Ephesus. He left there in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, but he shared the gospel and many people came to the Lord. When they came to the Lord, they formed different fellowships. In these fellowships, they were able to share, they were able to prepare for missions, and they were able to stand together. But later, Paul wrote this second letter to Timothy. It was a farewell letter, charging him and challenging him to look at the gospel in a new way. In this text we are looking at today, there are three basic choices that Timothy has. Paul challenged Timothy to three things. Number one, Timothy would be either ashamed of the gospel. Number two, Timothy would be ready to suffer for the gospel. Or number three, Timothy would be able to guard the gospel at all cost. These were the three choices that Timothy had. These are the choices that we have today. Either we should be ready to be ashamed of the gospel, we will be ready to suffer for the gospel, or be ready to guard the gospel. Please walk with me through this text in the few minutes that I have. Looking at verse 8, Paul challenged Timothy to look very, very carefully. Why? Paul was in prison at this time because he was a promoter of the gospel. He was a missionary. He went to different places to share the gospel in small house groups within different fellowships. And this is what we do back in Uganda through SEAN Uganda TEE Ministry. It is a small mission, but having a countrywide focus. We take the gospel to the islands, to the refugee camps, to the prisons, and to grassroots churches. Now, you may not understand what that really means, but it's not easy to share the gospel in Uganda today. Not for the same reasons as we may have here in the UK. No, but for infrastructure reasons. Moving from one island to another takes about 8 hours in a small boat, sailing without a life jacket, but we have to endure it. Paul had a different choice there. To him, he had to struggle with the Roman soldiers at that time. He had to struggle to get a license to go from one place to another. That's why later he would be arrested in Jerusalem. But in this particular letter, he encourages Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Why? In the previous verses, this gospel came to him, the gospel came to Timothy from his grandmother and his own mother, and then this faith was passed on unto him. It's a joy we've been able to have a simple demonstration of this when Reverend David reflected on it. That very text is the text behind the text we are looking at here. Until the gospel is shared from one generation to another, we can't see Timothy's raise up. In Uganda, we are struggling, and by God's grace, we are raising Timothys in churches, in refugee camps, and on islands to see that people will not be ashamed of the gospel. And indeed, by God's grace, we have been able to raise a generation which is now growing. Paul told Timothy, number one choice is not to be ashamed of the gospel, but be brave enough to live the gospel way. That's what we see at the beginning of verse 8. Midway into verse 8, coming to verse 9 there, Paul challenges Timothy not to give up, but to be ready to suffer for the gospel. Suffering for the gospel is a principle that is available now for us to see and ponder. Many Christians in various parts of the world suffer in various ways. Think about a Christian in Ukraine today. What would it mean to be a Christian in Ukraine? When a missile is passing over your head, yet you have to remain believing and awaiting unto the Lord. What would it mean to be a Christian in other parts of the world? Different contexts would call for different ways of suffering. But I will share with you what it means to suffer for the gospel in my country. We work in a certain place called Rhino Camp Refugee Settlement. In there, you have to drive close to 80 miles from a small town called Arua to be able to get to that particular point. Now, the roads there are not as good as the roads we have in the UK. No, these are bumpy and dusty. At one point, I had the privilege of going with my friend, Robert Brown, in one of these small camps to be able to train up leaders. While there, we saw one gentleman who had been part of the SPLA rebels and had become a Christian and now was ready to lead a church. He had mobilized a small group and they had a small setting. So we trained him to become a Sayan tutor. But he didn't have one arm. One of his arms had been amputated in the war. His other arm was yet to be amputated. Why? Some of the people who arrested him were of the Muslim community from the Darfur region. By God's grace, he escaped. Later, the Lord spoke to him. He became a Christian and is now leading a small church. But when we went there in the dusty roads, all of us came back with a different type of hair because it was dyed up by dust. I wonder how many of you can endure such. But this is part of our everyday work. Suffering for the gospel means different things in different contexts. Here in the UK, I wouldn't know what that really means. But the key is here. We must be ready to suffer for the gospel in whichever context the Lord places you. Paul told Timothy, be ready to suffer for the gospel. To Timothy, it would mean that he would face up the Roman soldiers. It would mean that at one point, he would be ready to be flogged away into some of the courts. To Timothy, it would mean readiness to face up to the challenges of the day, because in Ephesus, it was quite cosmopolitan in a sense. Living with just less choices day in and day out would be hard for Timothy, but he had to endure. Brethren, I ask you, what does it mean for you to suffer for the gospel in your context here? Think about it. It may mean that you'll be part of the different ministries and missions that go on here in the church. It would mean saving up part of your time to be part of church here, to be part of the activities that go on day in at a time. It would mean giving up a lot of so many things to be part of the gospel work. Suffering for the gospel. How ready are you? Timothy had a third choice, as Paul shared. Remember, Paul is in prison. He has no many choices. He can only share with one or two or three, four people in prison. But Timothy is out in a church in Ephesus. These are some of the choices he has. One, not to be ashamed of the gospel. Number two, be ready to suffer for the gospel. But importantly, number three, Timothy must be ready to guard the gospel. Verse 13 and 14 of our text reflects on that. Guarding the gospel. Why? The gospel has been given unto us through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. As we go through the Lent season, we are reflecting on the life of Jesus Christ. We are reflecting on how he left everything. He left all the glory and came down to be with us. He came down to live our own lives. He came down to die and suffer for the people in the UK, in Africa, in Asia, in South America, and everyone who would come to faith. What a joy it is to reflect on the suffering of Jesus Christ. Yet, today we have a choice to guard the gospel in every way. Looking at verse 14, particularly, it calls us in a deeper sense, and it says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted unto you. I know you have bank accounts here. Now, not all of us in Africa have the privilege of having a bank account. No, we have just certain boxes where we would keep some money. That's what happens in our villages. But way back, in those days, there would be somebody with a certain box, having other small boxes inside it. And people would come and say, please keep this for me. And there would be a record, some kind of a ledger. And then this is a person who would, you know, begin to list up names. Daniel, you've given, say, £2. Okay, David, you've given £4. And then the list will keep growing. This is how our banking system developed. But then, the one who would be in charge of this banking system, local African banking system, would be told these words. Guard what we have given you, never to lose it, so that by the time we come back, you still have it intact. That is a demonstration of what it meant to guard something treasured. I'll give you a second story very shortly. In Africa, if you have a good cloth, like this very good jumper, you can always share it with another person because you don't have so much. Now, my mom had a simple dress. Very good, cute dress. One of our neighbors did not have one, and they were going for a party. So, this lady comes and asks my mom, please, 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 may I share your lovely dress? My mom said, no problem. You can always share my dress. But bring it back in the same condition I've given you. So on this party, this lady sits, and this was on a rainy day. On a rainy day, clothes would pick up mud. Now, this lady had a hard time. She had to lift up these clothes, not to tap any mud, because the instruction was, bring back my clothes intact. To guard the gospel means to be extra careful with what has been deposited on our hearts. The Lord has entrusted the gospel unto you. It is a treasure which we must guard at all costs. You and me are challenged. Shall we guard the deposit of the gospel that has been granted unto us? Pass it on from one generation to another. This is what we are lovingly doing. Passing on the deposit as we go to the camps, as we go to the prisons, as we go to the islands, and as we go to small groups. We thank God for the deposit of the gospel. We thank God that we are partners in what we are doing. We thank God for the generosity of the people in the whole world who are doing this generous work of passing on the gospel from one generation to another. St. Patrick's, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for loving the gospel. Thank you so much for loving your ministers. The gospel has been entrusted unto us, and the choice is in three ways. Number one, will you be ashamed to share the gospel? Or will you be ready to suffer for the gospel at every cost, whatever it means? Or will you continue to guard the gospel as it is? Reflect on that in this Lent season. The choice is in our hands. The choice has been passed unto us through the life and death of Jesus Christ. It's a joy for me to be here this morning. It's a joy to share the gospel here. It's a joy to share our love with you, because you've always shared your love in various ways with us. We thank you for the opportunity to share the gospel here. And many thanks to you, David, for this great opportunity. God bless you.